Thanks for downloading a 3CR podcast. 3CR is an independent community radio station based in Melbourne, Australia. We need your financial support to keep going. Go to www.3cr.org.au for more information and to donate online. Now stay tuned for your 3CR podcast.
To Local Food Connections, a show about the power of locally grown food to connect us more strongly with our communities and the lands we inhabit. Local Food Connections is brought to you by Local Food Connect. We're broadcasting from Wurundjeri country and pay our respects to elders past, present and emerging. We respect the enduring strength of First Nations people and acknowledge their long heritage of agriculture and care for the land in which our food is grown. I'm joined today by Willow, Sasha and Mitch from Food Not Bombs. Food Not Bombs, it's a global grassroots movement rooted in the belief that access to food is a basic human right. It began in the 1980s as a response to war, poverty and widespread food waste, with volunteers recovering surplus food that would otherwise be thrown away and sharing free plant-based meals with no questions asked. The movement operates through mutual aid rather than charity and has no central leadership, allowing each group to remain autonomous and community-led. By sharing food in public spaces, Food Not Bombs makes both a practical and political statement, challenging systems that prioritise profit and militarism over people. Today, the movement exists in hundreds of cities worldwide, including here, and is ultimately about solidarity, dignity and caring for one another. It's great to have you all on the show. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having us on.
When I spoke to you last, somebody said that Food Not Bombs is or operates something like an anarchist soup kitchen. We'll just start off by talking a little bit about how Food Not Bombs operates, where the food comes from, who cooks the food and who eats the food. So Willow, would you tell us about just the logistics of it?
Yeah, no worries. So Food Not Bombs, and yeah, I've heard it described as an anarchist soup kitchen before. It is an autonomous chapter of like a larger global movement of different Food Not Bombses. So I think there's a Food Not Bombs on every continent, except apparently Antarctica. That's just something I've read somewhere. We take food, well, we acquire food from wherever we can, as long as it's vegan. We can talk in more detail about like how we acquire food, but a lot of it would be waste. And a bunch of people get together basically in each city or each chapter. They cook it together and they eat it together, and that usually includes serving it in a place that is public and visible, and also everyone is invited to all activities. So Food Not Bombs, being a mutual aid movement, not a charity, so operating on people say solidarity, not charity principles, we try not to differentiate between like who cooks and who serves and who eats. So yeah, it's basically just a big free dinner.
Okay, a big free dinner.
I think I can add to a little of the anarchist aspect now, in that as much as possible, we're trying to do things, say, outside of the system, outside of capitalism, without, say, the reliance of the state, because, you know, it's not a charity exactly. We get no money for this and we ask no money for it.
So it's a direct challenge then to the monetary system and to the idea that money must be exchanged in order for people to get food.
That it should cost money to stay alive, which I find a little bit obscene.
Right. Okay.
And also that some people are more worthy or more deserving of so-called charity than others. So like we wouldn't ask for any like checks and balances, welfare cards, any of these things. It's sort of like the food belongs to everyone. It's part of the commons.
I might balk at serving a fascist. I don't know.
Me too, but hey.
That would be an interesting dilemma, wouldn't it, actually?
Hasn't happened yet, thankfully.
Yes. Sasha, have you got anything to add to that?
I think those two covered everything pretty well.
Okay.
I definitely haven't thought about what would happen if a fascist was there, though.
Now, you mentioned, Willow, that it's public and the serving of the food is public and visible. And public and visible. Why is that important? And why do you mention that?
I think in the history of the Food Not Bombs movement, this is just from like my knowledge of the broader movement, there has been a specific intention to challenge the privatization of public space. So a lot of Food Not Bombers will serve food like on street sides, like in public spaces that people will walk by and see, and not only will be able to like participate in the activity and eat with us, but also sort of confront the idea that the space, the street belongs to everyone and the food belongs to everyone. So it's, I guess, again, it's part of that like challenging norms type thing.
Yep.
Yeah.
And it's related to that idea of the commons. So you don't have to have a
Yeah.
shop or a garage or something in order to
Yeah.
participate, to use the space.
It's worth saying here, maybe we can talk about our Food Not Bombs, the Food Not Bombs at Catalyst Social Centre a bit more specifically, because
Yep.
we actually serve food in the social centre. But yeah, maybe you can ask us a bit later about like the Food Not Bombs that operates in Victoria, the
Yep.
two of them.
Sure. Well,
Yeah.
listen, let's talk about the Catalyst Social Centre. So, I know that you're moving. So, can you tell me about what the status of the thing is at the moment?
Well, we will have had our last Food Not Bombs on Wednesday the 11th. So we're going to have a bit of a pause for our Wednesday night dinners until we can either get to the new location of Catalyst or find a temporary home. That's still all a bit up in the air.
And can you tell me what Catalyst is? Because it's a collective. So what does that mean? Anyone at all?
It's a social centre that a bunch of different collectives all have some input in. So there's also the really, really free market, which Willow is also part of and ends up giving us a lot of food. There's a like a library, there's various solidarity networks.
Yep. So that's great. So good place for
Yes.
cross-pollination.
And new location will be 5 Munro Street in Coburg.
Okay, thank you. And that'll be up on all your socials as soon as you get there, won't it?
Yes.
You're that everyone. So anyone that just wants to Google Food Not Bombs will find out anything they need to know.
Or Catalyst Social Centre. I'd say give
Yes.
that a Google because there's a lot of other stuff happening out there.
Sure.
And check
Okay.
out the fundraiser to help Catalyst with the build in the new space because there's
Okay.
plenty of work to be done.
So if people go to Catalyst, they'll see how to contribute to the fundraiser.
Yes,
Yep.
or in the show notes, we'll give you the link
Cool.
for that.
All right. Okay. That's fantastic. Now, the other thing that I noticed that you mentioned, Willow, was that the food ought to be plant-based.
Yeah.
Is that where does that fit into the ethos of Food Not Bombs?
I guess Food Not Bombs is always maybe someone else is better placed to talk about this than me because I don't really know, but Food Not Bombs as a global movement sort of it's vegan or freegan. So like we will take food that doesn't contribute in ways that we find harmful to the broader food system,
Yep.
which is most of food consumption under capitalism. Like we can't all avoid that as individuals, but Food Not Bombs does its best to try and get food that is would be waste, vegan, or like what some people would call freegan. So a lot of that means also dumpster diving and donated food. And yeah, we will like dumpster, like us at Catalyst, we will sometimes dumpster dive non-plant-based food, but we will give it away in like the really, really free market, which is another
I see.
collective sort of like free grocery style thing that operates in a very similar ethos, but we'll like give away the meat and stuff rather than serve it in, the Food Not Bombs dinners.
So it's very much a challenge to the whole system, right? And the whole system does exploit animals. And the whole system it also wastes food, doesn't it, by feeding high protein grains and things to animals.
I just remembered something kind of important that we may have forgotten earlier in that when we spoke about Food Not Bombs's last dinner being on Wednesday the 11th, there's actually two Food Not Bombs chapters in Melbourne, and the other one serves at Richmond at Cooks at Collingwood Neighbourhood House on Tuesdays. So if people want to get involved like over the next few months, because we're actually we're moving to our new location and renovating the kitchen, so we're kitchen orphans. We do also have the other chapter in Collingwood that anyone can go and cook at on a Tuesday.
Okay, and we'll put that in the show notes too when we turn this into a podcast.
In 2026, 3CR is celebrating 50 years on air.
Over five decades, we've been home to hundreds of shows, thousands of broadcasters and guests, and hundreds of thousands of listeners.
This February, we're aiming for 1,000 subscribers.
It's just $40 concession, $80 full.
Help us celebrate 50 years. Subscribe.
Like so many community organisations, we need your continued financial support to keep 3CR on air and our community connected and strong.
Consider selecting Auto Renew for your subscription so your subscription keeps rolling on every year.
We love the security of knowing we have your support into the future.
Head to 3cr.org.au or call 9419 8377 and remember to select recurring for your annual subscription.
This is the Local Food Connection show on 3CR 855 kilohertz on your AM dial and 3CR on digital radio. You can also visit the 3CR website and listen to the live streaming of the show. Today I'm chatting with Mitch, Sasha and Willow from Food Not Bombs. And we've talked about how that sits within an anarchist viewpoint, and it exists as a way of sharing food, but also as a challenge to the dominant paradigm and the capitalist system. Before we move on to what actually happens within the kitchen, is there any more comments on that? Anybody else want to talk a little bit about the political foundation of it?
I can do a quick rant in that I feel that the state and states everywhere are failing the people and failing to take care of them. So, you know, it's kind of on us to take care of each other and build community. And a great way to do this is by sharing food, cooking together, that sort of thing. Yeah. And, you know, through that, I've met these two wonderful people and many others.
Yeah. So very much part of that. Let's not expect much from the state, certainly at the moment.
Yes, let's DIY.
And let's DIY. Yep. Sasha, you said that in a previous conversation that you wanted an alternative to angry shouting in public or something. I can't remember your exact words.
Yeah.
Talk to me about how it fits in with your activism and how you see all that.
Yeah. So I guess this, when I found Food Not Bombs, it was quite early on in my sort of journey with activism. And yeah, like you said, pretty much everything I've been doing at that point was a lot of getting angry, shouting in streets. And it's important, useful stuff, but it is also quite negative, like in the form it takes. And then one day I discovered Catalyst. I heard about Food Not Bombs and discovered something that was both revolutionary in some sense, and then was also just this incredible community building activity. It was incredibly positive, show up to do something I love, which is cooking for people, and then make all these friends in the kitchen, sit down and have a huge meal with up to 50 something people every week. And yeah, it does challenge the current system in quite a unique way, in that we're not just out there saying we need to do this thing, we are actually doing it. And it's, again, creating something just absolutely beautiful. It's mm-hmm. yeah, quite restorative compared to a lot of the other stuff that we do.
Yeah, and probably a really good salve. I mean, the other stuff is profoundly negative, but has to be done. But we do have souls as well, don't we? Without
getting sure do, yeah.
all religious about it. Or do we? Anyway, we won't go there. Tell us what happens in this anarchic soup kitchen situation when you turn up there and there might be 30 people, there's no leader, and there's just a shitload of food. How does it all work out?
Yeah, so I guess it's quite interesting, really. Depends on who's there when you show up. I think my first time there was absolutely no one there. I just sat around and waited for a while for people to show up. Eventually people started cooking. I went and asked if I could help. I was handed a big bag of carrots and a knife. Spent the whole night doing that. It's quite an experience these days, now that I'm sort of a bit more familiar with things, showing up and going through what food we've got, trying to turn that into something with everyone else, either trying to create some sort of recipe out of just a pile of ingredients being prepared, or just helping prepare those ingredients. Trying to contribute to what everyone else is doing.
Have I interrupted? Sorry.
No. You're good.
So you love cooking for other people. Has it helped your cooking? Have you learned how to cook with different ingredients?
Yeah, actually quite a lot. A lot more than I was expecting. I had basically never cooked a stir fry before, and now I've cooked too many to remember.
It helps you become a great improviser, working with, you know, the random assortment of produce that you have each week.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of talk on this program very frequently about we're going to have to learn to cook with what we've got and not expect stuff that's not in season that came from California on, you know, using up all the fuel and everything. And if there is a crisis like a pandemic that disrupts those systems, then we are going to have to perhaps rely on local stuff that's easy to grow where we are and that we can improvise with. So that's not a small thing that you're saying there. I think it's very important. Now, what's your, is Sasha turns up happy to hang around and wait till people come and then happy to do to peel the carrots. What do you do when you turn up, Mitch?
Oh, I'm often the first to arrive on our Wednesday nights. So I get all the produce out and I start organizing it into categories and things, because that makes it a hell of a lot easier to figure out what we can make. I'll usually make a lentil-based curry of some kind. Some people come in with an idea of something they want to make. Others are just happy to help. Work just kind of gets delegated that way. That's usually how it goes for me. I focus on my particular go-to recipe, and anyone who wants to help out is more than welcome.
Are there any wider lessons for anarchism? Gets a bad name, doesn't it? Because everyone goes, it means chaos. It actually doesn't mean chaos. Can you talk to me, each of you, and it doesn't have to be a full, you don't have to give a full thesis on what anarchism is, because obviously it's an evolving, changing thing. What does it mean to you individually? Can I put you on the spot there? Willow, what does it mean to you?
Yeah, so anarchism is basically, for me, it's something you do, not something you are, and it means abiding by the philosophy of horizontal organizing and questioning coercion and hierarchy. So not having any central authority and working together to get things done. So basically, sorry, someone take over from me.
I think you've got the main points pretty well. It is essentially this way that we can all sort of sit down and do something that we all agree on, no one is dominating decisions or anything, and it's not really possible for them to because of the way that we go about organizing. That process can be quite intense and difficult at times when there are disagreements, but it does work out. It's been going great for Catalyst so far.
It means you get to, you know, do a lot of interesting things, build something out of disparate parts with different people who have different skills. And I don't know, what I like is doing things outside of the system and capitalism.
So you just enjoy the even just exploring out there? Like, it's just really interesting for you to just see what could happen if there wasn't a leader or whatever.
Yeah.
I think it's worth mentioning that to counter that idea that anarchism is chaos, anarchism means no rulers, not no rules. So if we can all get together and agree on a system, like anarchists can be quite bureaucratic and quite ordered. I wouldn't say Food Not Bombs is the best example of that, because we can be a bit chaotic, but there's, you know, it always comes together, and there are always rules or guidelines that everyone like understands and agrees on, so long as there's no coercion there.
So it's kind of like you just got a principle, no coercion. So that's the boundary that across which you will not go.
Yeah, we can have a structure with if we can recognize and agree on elements of hierarchy, like we can have that structure. But it's just, yeah, like there's no one dictating what happens and what our structure is. Mm-hmm. It's something that we form as a consensus.
Lovely.
I'll just add, and none of our recipes come out of the Anarchist Cookbook.
Okay. Important to note. Oh, look, there is one there. Who wrote that one? I'm sorry.
This is a Food Not Bombs one. It's not the one everyone else is thinking of.
They already made that joke.
I think some of our recipes do come from it because it is a cookbook.
Okay. So you are allowed to sneak a recipe out of the cookbook if you really are stuck and you've reached an impasse.
I mean, recipes are good rules to have.
Yes. Yeah. And also, yeah, you need some boundaries and principles. So we've only got a minute left, by the way, so I can't delve into what would happen if you've got a serious problem like a bully, a fascist, an uncooperative person, I don't know, but we haven't got time. So I'd like you just to tell me each what have you put into Food Not Bombs and what have you gained from it? That's for each of you. So I'll ask Mitch first and we'll go around everyone.
I've certainly put in plenty of time and energy and effort at this point, but it's all been, I don't know, I've gotten more than I put in, I feel like, because, yeah, I've made all these wonderful connections. It has also made me a better cook, better improviser. Connected me with community in a really beautiful way.
Yeah, lovely. Connections is what we're all about. Sasha?
Yeah, it's been incredible, frankly. I did just go there to cook, but I also gained a whole community, made a ton of friends, and grew as a person probably more in the last year than I ever have in the rest of my life. I've gone from someone who could just sort of get through life with not the best mental health ever, and now I am a community organizer and I'm spending basically all of my time on multiple projects doing all this crazy stuff, and it's been incredible.
That's fantastic. And Willow? You're leaning forward now?
Second, everything the other two have said, community is a huge one. Can't imagine like my life without Food Not Bombs and other similar things that make it something, I don't know, not maybe saying worth living for is really dramatic, but like I had a really crap year last year, and just personally, and Food Not Bombs is one of the things that like really helped me get through, put in like a fair bit of work and sometimes stress, but what I gain from it is I can't really describe that. Mm-hmm. I'd highly encourage anyone to get involved. There's no like specific commitment. You can just come along and cook with us when and if you have capacity, and or you can just eat if you want.
Just eat even. Oh, that sounds good.
Or help us clean up after. We always need cleaners.
Yes.
Yeah, show up at 7 o'clock, eat, and maybe wash your dishes or someone else's dishes too. That would be great. But yeah.
Okay. Thank you very much. So anyone that likes the sound of that, just go down to Richmond at this stage. So go to Food Not Bombs and find what's the venue? The Collingwood
Neighborhood House.
Neighborhood House. On what night?
But for eating, it's Richmond, just in front of the safe injecting space in, I can't remember the park.
In North Richmond there?
North Richmond. Yeah. We can link all of this.
Sure.
Detail.
Okay, fantastic.
But what's this space? Because in a few months, the Catalyst Food Not Bombs will have a kitchen up and going again.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, you've been listening to Local Food Connections on 3CR, and today we've been speaking with Sasha, Willow and Mitch from Food Not Bombs, and I'd like to thank you all very much again for coming onto Zoom in this case. I really love meeting people your age, and I love the perspective that you bring to the world. So thank you so much.
Thanks, Anne.
Thanks, Anne.
Sasha. Thanks, Willow. See you later.
To learn more about Food Not Bombs, Google it. Until next week, love the land you're on, share your surplus, take care of each other. We talked a lot about that today. Remember to support independent media by becoming a 3CR subscriber. 3CR depends on audience subscriptions to continue to broadcast, and we have a subscriber drive this February, and we're aiming for 1,000 subscribers to by the end of February. So if you like 3CR, if you like this show, please consider subscribing, because it can't stay on the air unless listeners support it, because we are independent radio and we don't take money from the government or private enterprise. So I'll just talk a little bit more about that. You can subscribe by going to 3cr.org.au. You can phone 94198377 during business hours, 94198377, or you can just walk into the station during business hours and knock on the door and we will welcome you. Stay tuned now to 3CR for more Radical Radio with Latin American Update. Bye for now.
Well, if you want to know what you're made from, look at what you're made from is made from, because the stuff that we're all made from is the same. Yeah, we goes from dust to dust. You gotta just trust that upper crust and maintain that good terrain from whence you came. We've been looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out, but it's time to get down, down, down. Cause we're made up of common ground, can't live without it, and it's time to get down, 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 down. When you flirt with the dirt, you'll observe it's certainly not inert. From a worm to a chicken, you're never alone on the loam, and it's time to get to work. We've been looking up, we've been messing around, we've been freaking out, but it's time to get down, down, down. Cause we're made up of common ground, can't live without it, and it's time to get down, down. We've been looking up, we've been messing around, what you eat, eats, eats, and it repeats, it repeats, it repeats, it repeats, it repeats. Down, down, down.
Got a big crop of tomatoes or plums in the garden this summer? Look after our precious wildlife and avoid using netting over your veggies and fruit trees. Nets can accidentally trap flying foxes, possums, and birds. Many of them don't survive their injuries. If you must use netting, make it safe for wildlife. For more information, go to wildlifevictoria.org.au or call 03 84 00 7300 if you see wildlife trapped in netting. Wildlife Victoria is a 3CR supporter.
Are you a 3CR subscriber?
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.